Is all well?
Very good, thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Joy.
Hello.
Sorry.
Welcome.
Oh, where is Mr. Keats?
I'm afraid he is not joining us. He's in Mr. Brown's half of the
house.
Hello. Ah, the very well-stitched little Miss Brown in all her detail. Good morning.
What is this? What have I done? How have I offended?
I don't shake hands with the enemy.
An enemy? What have I done to you?
You do nothing to me. Or for me, and that's how I'd prefer to keep it.
What?
Your offence is to my fashion, Mr. Brown.
Oh dear.
To which I'm so helplessly slavish.
I have been ill-quoted.
Her obsession with flounce and cross-stitch?
Cross-stitch? Miss Brown, I don't even know what that means.
Baiting, baiting.
I feel the same about your poems, Mr. Brown. I know nothing of what they mean. They puff, smoke, dissolve, leaving nothing but irritation.
Funny, take this tea to Mr. Keats. He's in very poor spirits.
Mr. Keats is composing and does not want disturbing.
It's my finding in the business of disturbing. You're the expert.
Fanny, why not speak to one of us you hold in higher favour?
I'm praising him.
Fanny.
Please, Fanny, I'm wanting to know what you shall say about Mr. Keats. I've been waiting 2 weeks that I may enjoy your opinion. I cannot look upon him without smiling. And he is quick with his thoughts, though now they are mostly sad.
His brother Tom's not at all better.
Very diminished.
Mr. Keats nurses him alone. It's difficult work.
Is there no other family member?
No, the parents are both dead. There's only a much younger sister and a brother who lives in America.
Come in!
You like jokes, Mr. Keats. I like jokes. Mr. Brown, I warn you, does not like my jokes. Complains I care for nothing but fashion. Would you like biscuits?
You've come to spy.
Spy?
How would you describe me? My character?
I'm not the least interested in your character.
My jacket, then. My pantaloons.
You need a new jacket. That's what I would say.
Is that all?
It should be a velvet. Blue velvet.
Tell me, Miss Brown, how can you be so sure?
Well, all I wear, I've sewn and designed myself. I'm often told I'm clever to exception about design. I originated the pleats on my dress, which are charming and...
Has she annoyed you sufficiently? She's done brilliant well with me. Men's room, out. Poet's got to do a bit of writing.
My stitching has more merit and admirers than your 2 scribblings put together.
Goodbye, minstress.
And I can make money from it.
Yes.
Have you got John Keats's poem book?
Endymion.
Endymion, yes.
Yes, I've not heard much good about it. I've not sold one and took 20.
My sister has met the author and she wants to read it for herself to see if he's an idiot or not.
unwrap it. Read it.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and asleep, full of sweet dreams and health and quiet breathing.
Stop.
Therefore, on...
Yes. In spite of all, some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits. Mr. Keats.
Good evening.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness.
You've read Endymion.
I wanted to adore it.
But you hated it.
I can't say.
Are you frightened to speak truthfully?
Never.
Well, tell me then.
I'm not clever with poetry.
Well, neither, it seems, am I. Still, I have some hope for myself.
I think hope useful.
But
hope and results are different. One doesn't necessarily create the other.
Would practice help?
It might. I wasn't always able to stitch so well. This is the first frock in all of Woolwich or Hampstead to have a triple pleated mushroom collar.
Isn't that an identical one behind you?
My card's completely full. But you don't dance, Mr. Keats. I love to dance.
I don't feel like dancing.
Is your brother still ill?
He's no better.
My father was ill for as long as I can remember. He died when I was still very young. Excuse me.
Fanny.
Trying to bring some comfort to a dying man.
What dying man? Where are you taking them?
I cannot offer poor Mr. Keats's brother anything that's not perfect.
It's me, Miss Braun. I have something to deliver to Mr. Keats.
Leave it at the door!
Is he not there?
We're working, Miss Braun.
I have something for your brother, Mr. Keats.
Invite her in. Brown.
Mr.
disgusting ape.
Be careful as you enter the ape's cage.
Sit next to me, Osborne. My prospects in the world feel very faint.
This room, sir. Poorly cared for. Please try one. I'm anxious they'll cause him to choke. No! Try another and I swear I shall bite you.
Take care. She has sharp teeth. She sunk her fangs into my poor poem and shook it apart.
I'm very sorry I couldn't love your Endymion completely, Mr. Keats. Perhaps I did not say, but I thought the beginning of your poem something very perfect.
But don't leave us. You can see for yourself, nothing is happening. All we do is lie about the room all day, begging for inspiration. Please, tell me what I should do. Miss Braun. We monkeys just want a little company.
Well, I gave him the biscuits. Mr. Brown kept...
If we've finished tiffing, come and say hello to Tom. Might cheer him.
We'll have to ask Mama.
No, we don't, Toots.
Yes, we do. Isn't that so, Samuel? We have to stick together.
I'm going. You'll have to come with me.
Would you like to go by the pond or through the woods? I've explored all these paths, which are more in number than your eyelashes.
My eyelashes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it amazes me you can sit opposite Mr. Brown all day. Never heard him say one thing of wit. Not one.
You favour wit?
I rate it the highest.
Like the fashionables?
Yes, I do.
Men who say things that make you start without making you feel.
Things that are amusing.
I know these dandies. Of a mannerism in their very eating and drinking. The handling of a decanter.
You are making an attack on me.
No, I'm defending Mr. Brown's generous good heart.
By attacking myself.
Forgive me. I've been too long at my brother's sickbed.
Can we not still appreciate clever humour? Oh, thank God. He's been calling out for you.
Come in.
John.
Tom.
What?
Tom, get back into bed.
I know. I was having this dream. It's worse.
I'm here now. I'm here.
Where have you been, Tom? I just...
Calm now. Calm.
I was worried.
It's all right.
I was so hot in this bed. I was so scared.
God,
I just panicked.
I want to go. I want to leave. It smells.
Shh. I'll cut your hair in the night.
Good evening, George.
Ah, good evening.
Well, Keats, I hope you've not forgotten your bassoon.
Of course not. It's in my waistcoat pocket.
Hello, Mr. Keats.
Hello, Minx.
How's Tom?
Gentlemen of the orchestra, just through here. Ladies, straight ahead, please. Thank you. Hurry on, gentlemen.
Is he showing any signs of improvement?
Don't ask me if Tom makes. The only good I can do is say how I love him.
Hurry on, gentlemen.
Someone submitted anonymously to the Examiner a most exquisite sonnet.
Mm-hmm.
composed on the subject of whether love itself could be the 10th muse of heaven.
Come on.
On guard!
Right.
That's my sword, brute!
Love the 10th muse?
It's full of the most perfect illusions. Mm. And really beautifully realised. I thought at first it might be one of yours.
You were just telling Mrs. Bourne of John Keats's review in Blackwood's.
Was it so very bad?
No man could have profaned and vulgarised every association in the manner which has been adopted by this solemn promise.
Did they not admire the opening? It was perfect, even I could know that.
Do you like poetry, Miss Bourne?
No. Poems are a strain to work out.
John, we are talking or about to talk of your defence of Mr. Keats's poem Endymion.
Yes. I have clung to nothing, loved to nothing, nothing seen or felt but a great dream. I've been presumptuous against love, against the sky, against all elements, against the tie of mortals, each to each. The rhythm is beautiful and unique. There are rhymes, but not on the beat. They're quiet, but binding, and the repetitions set you up to fly. I've clung to nothing, loved to nothing, nothing seen, and here you come out, or felt but a great dream.
It's beautiful.
Well, there are immaturities, but there are also immensities, and that is what they didn't say.
It was said. You said it, brother.
Hey. You?
Very bravely.
Ladies, the Hampstead heathens are about to begin. Reynolds?
I thought I'd been expelled.
Oh, no, I think not. You're very much needed.
I woke with the strange sensation of someone holding my hand. I opened my eyes, and there was John. I knew immediately what had happened, and then he said, Tom died at 8 o'clock, quietly and without pain. Of course, he can't go on living there, so I've invited Mr. Keats to come and stay with me. Well, we do have
A long schedule of visits.
I don't want to interfere with your city plans, but you're most welcome to Minx. Have dinner with us.
Manuel.
Oh, no.
Never seen you so quiet.
I appreciate it. We do have some city visits.
She sewed it all night long.
Pillow slip.
Then I will rest Tom's head upon it. Keats, the Reynolds are expecting us. I'll catch you up.
Thank you.
Invite me again. Alone.
Come for Christmas. Mama, shall I home be tame, Monsieur Keats, pour le réveillon de Noël?
Oh, yes, please do join us, yes, Mr. Keats, please.
But Marianne Reynolds invited us for Christmas. Remember, you were there when she said it. They're having musicians. I am sorry to spoil things.
Not at all. Whoever Mr. Keats is happy, we're happy for him.
Thank you, Mrs.
Why can't he be happy with us?
Perhaps Mr. Brown wants Mr. Keats all to himself.
I'm merely remembering to Mr. Keats a previous engagement. Miss Braun, I thought we were conversing.
Dear Mrs. Braun, may I yet join you for Christmas? I have not the health nor the heart to be anywhere but with a family such as your own. John Keats.
Thank you.
I was wondering this morning if you're sleeping in my bed.
Pardon?
You see, I believe you are. We rented Mr. Brown's half the house this summer while you were journeying in Scotland. Which room do you sleep in?
The one overlooking the back garden.
That was my bed. For proof, pull it from the wall and by the pillow you'll find a figure I drew with pinholes.
Is the figure you?
It's a fairy princess.
Should I be feeding her?
She refuses to eat. Would you teach me poetry? I'd like to understand. I don't know how to begin.
And it's three to the right, two, three. Three to the left, two, three.
And keep it going. So that's the English drawing room. And this is something that I saw in Scotland. They kick. And they jump. And they twirl it. And they sweat it and they tattooed the floor like mad.
What about a poem?
Yes, please, Mr. Keats.
A short one.
When I have fears that I may cease to be, before my pen has gleaned my teeming brain. Before high-piled books in charactery I would like rich garners, the full ripened grain. When I behold upon the night starred face huge cloudy symbols of a high romance, I've gone blank.
You're tired. Should you like some sweet? Should we have coffee and sweet? For my poetry class.
Your poetry class? Poetry classes? Keats, are we teaching poetry today? I hope I don't disturb.
Take a seat. Have a look at that. A poet is not at all poetical. He is the most unpoetical thing in existence.
He has no identity. He's continually filling some other body. The sun, the moon.
I cannot restrain my credibility longer. Miss Braun, is this really you, or are you acting?
It's really me.
Is that?
Charles, I have a pupil. Desist or depart.
Apologies. Modest hope is that the cost of the lesson will not be the poet.
The cost of the lesson is that Mr. Keats will forthwith discuss poetry with me.
You don't mean to read the poems?
Until I know all the poets and poems in the world, since I've nothing to do, as you so many times have noted.
I bow to your ambition.
Now he's gone, I shall find it easier to talk. Can you say something of the craft of poetry?
Poetic craft is a carcass, a sham. If poetry does not come as naturally as leaves to a tree, then it had better not come at all. I'm mistaken. I'm not sure I can teach you.
Was I too rude? I can apologize.
I'm not sure I have the right feelings towards women. I'm suspicious of my feelings.
Do you not like me?
I'm attracted to you without knowing why. All women confuse me, even my mother. I yearn to be ruined by shrews and saved by angels, and in reality I've only ever really loved my sister.
I'm annoyed by my sister as often as I love her. I still don't know how to work out a poem.
A poem needs understanding through the senses. The point of diving in a lake is not immediately to swim to the shore, but to be in the lake, to luxuriate in the sensation of water. You do not work the lake out. It is an experience beyond thought. Poetry soothes and emboldens the soul to accept mystery.
I love mystery.
I found your fairy princess on the wall in my room.
You could make her out.
She wears a butterfly frock. Shall we continue?
Mr. Keats is very brilliant. I'm not sure he really likes me. He prefers Toots and Samuel. Even our cat, who's always petting to death.
Mr. Keats knows he cannot like you. He has no living and no income.
Mr. Keats, is it here? He said to tell you he had a sore throat and thought it best to stay on in Chichester.
Oh, Samuel, hello.
You don't believe me? Come in. Come in. There. No Keats. Tell us, what Chaucer did you read?
All of it. Also, Mr. Spencer, Mr. Milton, and the Odyssey.
That's a lot to read in 1 week. What did you think of the Odyssey?
Thank you. I'm yet partway through it. But I've read all Mr. Keats has written.
Have you?
Out went the taper. As she hurried in, its little smoke in pallid moonshine died. She closed the door. She panted, all akin to spirits of the air and visions wide.
And what, Miss Brawn, did you make of Paradise Lost?
Oh, I liked it.
Did you? You didn't find Milton's rhymes a little pouncing?
No.
Did you not?
Not very.
Is it the material of her dress that makes Miss Brawn's eyes so amber-like?
Oh, yes, they are golden.
Amber, almost.
Yes. Yes, what colour are yours, Mr. Brown?
Mine.
Suitcase brown.
Fanny.
Did you see Mr. Brown?
He was amazed.
Well, all those authors in just 1 week is a bit incredible.
I know. But he sees I'm serious, and I will read them.
Valentine.
sparkling valentine. I'm not sure if you should have a kiss for your amber enchantress eyes. Or a whipping. Yours a suitcase.
Very oddly. Should I invite him inside?
Mr. Brown sent you a valentine.
I think it was a joke.
Keith! Keith! John, wait!
John, I was away for 10 days, Brown, with you encouraging me to stay on and get well.
John, easy.
Now, you write Miss Braun a valentine card. Are you lovers?
John.
Is that the truth? You
easy.
Sent a card, Charles. You have the income to marry where I have not. Did you accept it, Miss Braun?
John, I sent that valentine. It was only a jest.
For whom? I'm not laughing. Miss Braun is not laughing.
John, I wrote the valentine to amuse Fanny, who makes a religion of flirting. John, she is what, a poetry scholar one week and what, a military expert the next? It is a game. It is a game to her. She collects...
There is a holiness to the heart's affections. No, nothing of that. Believe me, it's not pride.
You're in love with Mr. Brown.
Why didn't you speak?
She can't speak because she only knows how to flirt and sue. Is that right? And read all Milton, whose rhymes do not pounce Miss Braun, because there are none. John, there are one or two of her kind in every fashionable drawing room of this city, gasping over skirt lengths.
Oh. I'm sorry, you could have a poetry lesson tomorrow.
No! I want to dance and flirt, talk of flounces and ribbons till I find my old happiness and humour.
What if a dwarf were to die in Act Two? And then we could introduce the princess sooner.
Princess. Perhaps Act Three could begin with a tempest.
What else do you think?
We're going to live next door. The Delta moved to Westminster, and we get 6 months half rent. So we'll be in the same house. We can all play football.
It's a great economy for Mama. Don't leave if you like.
Have we broken for the day, Keats? Keats!
princess has already abandoned the dwarf. I mean, cannot we keep his love speech?
We have to change it. Find another place for it.
We could give the love speech.
Look out.
Oh! Sorry, right in the face.
Brown? Brown!
Oh, no!
What was that, no. Toot?
F, Mr. Keats and myself, are strolling in the meadow. Lounging on a sofa or staring into a wall, do not presume we're not working. Doing nothing is the musing of the poet.
Are these musings what we common people know as thoughts?
Thoughts? Yes, but of a weightier nature.
Sinking thoughts?
Not really, Miss Braun. Musing. Making one's mind available to inspiration.
Mr. Brown, as in amusing.
Mr. Brown, our thoughts are all very simple, so you never need worry about interrupting us. And we should be happy if you would join us for dinner on any day.
Sniffing all the flowers in the garden to try and find the best scent.
Mr. Keats is being a bee.
Thank you.
Sonny! Come in! I need your help!
Lie to me. Tell me you did not dance last night.
I did not sit down a single tune. You can see the truth in my slippers, completely scuffed. I don't know how I could have prevented it.
I don't want to sit and wait under the trees while you talk. I want to go and play on the swing.
All right.
I had such a dream last night.
I was floating above the trees, with my lips connected to those of a beautiful figure. For what seemed like an age, flowery treetops sprang up beneath us, and we rested on them with the lightness of a cloud.
Who was the figure?
I must have had my eyes closed because I can't remember.
And yet you remember the treetops?
Not so well as I remember the lips.
Whose lips? Were they my lips?
Mr. Brown bet I couldn't find the nightingale's nest.
There is no nest and no bed.
That one over there.
You couldn't have seen it in a tree. They don't nest in trees.
I know, but I saw it was a nightingale.
Soon trembling in her soft and chilly nest, in sort of wakeful swoon, perplexed she lay. See here, there are tears. You're so far ahead of me and above me.
Brown, I'm amazed.
You're writing as the finest thing in my life. You wrote this little hand. Did you do it? As one who truly loves you, I
I must warn you kindly of a trap that you're walking into, John.
If you're going to speak of Miss Brawn, we have never agreed and cannot agree.
For one or two of your slippery blisses, you'll lose your freedom permanently. You'll be slaving at medicine 15 hours a day, and for what? To keep Mrs. Keats in French ribbon. I cherish your talent. I truly do.
Then allow me my happiness. For I am writing again.
My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense, as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past and Lethe woods had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beechen green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease.
Darkling, I listen. And for many a time, I have been half in love with easeful death.
Called
him soft names in many a muted rhyme.
Rhyme.
To take into the air my quiet breath. To cease upon the midnight with no pain. While thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy.
What? Have you told Miss Brawn of our summer holiday, or shall I?
Not as yet. Mr. Brown is doing his summer rental, so we both have to leave.
We're meeting up on the Isle of Wight for some undisturbed writing and carousing.
Mrs. Vaughan, may I speak to Fanny, please?
No, I will not speak to him.
Fanny, I was going to tell you. Fanny, I have no money. In fact, I am in debt. I must earn. I must write and make a living. If I fail, though I hate to think on it, then I must make way so another may marry and adore you as I wish to.
No! I would not be adored ever again by you or by anyone! I hate you!
Nothing.
Fanny, will you check my stitch? It's an open work seam.
God. No touch. I don't care a damn for stitches.
No letter.
Not today.
My love. It's this love. I shall never tease about it again. So sore, I believe one could die of it.
My dearest lady, I'm now at a very pleasant cottage window, looking onto a beautifully hilly country, with a view of the sea. The morning is very fine. I did not know how elastic my spirit might be, what pleasure I might have in living here if the remembrance of you did not weigh so upon me. Ask yourself, my love, whether you are not very cruel to have so entrammelled me. So destroyed my freedom. For myself, I know not how to express my devotion to so fair a form. I want a brighter word than bright, a fairer word than fair. I almost wish we were butterflies and lived but 3 summer days. 3 such days with you I could fill with more delight than 50 common years could ever contain. When you confess this in a letter, you must write immediately and do all you can to console me in it. Make it rich as a draught of poppies to intoxicate me. Write the softest words and kiss them, that I may at least touch my lips where yours have been.
My dear Mr. Keats, thank you for your letter. Lately I've felt so nervous and ill that I had to stay 5 days in bed. Having received your letter, I'm up again, walking our paths on the heath. I've begun a butterfly farm in my bedroom in honor of us. Sammy and Toots are catching them for me. Samuel has made a science of it, and is collecting both caterpillars and chrysalises so we may have them fluttering about us a week or more.
I have 2 luxuries to brood over in my walks. Your loveliness and the hour of my death. Oh, that I could have possession of them both in the same minute. I never knew before what such a love as you have made me feel was. I did not believe in it. But if you will fully love me, though there may be some fire, it will not be more than we can bear when moistened and bedewed with pleasures.
Listen, I love you more in that I believe you have liked me for my own sake. I've met with women whom I really think would like to be married to a poem, to be given away by a novel.
Mama, don't be cross.
When I don't hear from him, it's as if I've died,
as if the air is sucked out from my lungs, and I'm left desolate. But when I receive a letter, I know our world is real. the one I care for. Watch the butterfly.
Well, move it.
Annie wants a knife.
What for?
To kill herself.
It's all over. I have such a short letter after all this time. No, Topper. Saying he was in London. In London and couldn't bring himself to visit for fear it would burn him up. He's made no fortune and is ashamed of it. If only he knew how little I, even you, care for that now. Mama asked me to welcome you home and introduce you to Miss O'Donoghue, our new maid, who may also do for you.
Please, sir, call me Abigail or Abby.
Very well. Be sure you do not enter if the door is closed.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Keats is not coming back. He's going to live in London.
Please tell Mr. Keats that we Brawns have kept safe all his things.
Mr. Brian has said that I could learn to read still. I said to him, sure, what would I read? And he said, Abigail, even the Bible is not so dull as you might believe. And that in the Songs of Solomon, there are some bits so juicy they make even a churchman blush. And he said that when I get down to the reading myself, I'll see he tells not one word of a lie.
Hello, Toots.
Hello, Mr. Keats.
Hello, Miss Brawn.
Mother, we found it. Fanny had the key, like I thought.
What do you need for London? Your vest has no lining. And your coat. Has a small hole. I could mend it so you wouldn't see it.
My sweet girl. I am living today and yesterday. I was in a complete fascination all day. I feel myself at your mercy. Write me ever so few lines and tell me you will never, forever be less kind to me than yesterday. You dazzled me. There is nothing in the world so bright and delicate. You have absorbed me. I have a sensation at the present moment as if I was dissolving.
Fanny, Mrs. Dilke is telling me that Mr. Keats is proposing to move in next door again, and she wants to know if I have any objections.
Of course you don't. Mr. Brown is Mr. Keats's best friend. Why would we object?
Fanny, Mr. Dilke and I are worried that such close connection may prove restrictive for you.
No.
Mr. Keats can't afford to marry. His situation is really quite hopeless. And if he is next door, how will you meet anyone else? How will you go to dances?
Oh, you are engaged.
It's his mother's ring. It's not an engagement ring.
You were not to wear it.
I wear it on the finger next door.
Oh, do not even discuss it.
You taught me to love. You never said only the rich, only a thimbleful.
Attachment is such a difficult thing to undo.
Pillowed upon my fair love's ripening breast, to feel forever its soft swell and fall, awake forever in a sweet unrest, still, still to hear her tender taken breath.
It's new. Which poem?
Yours. Bright star. Would I were steadfast as thou art. Not in lone splendor hung aloft the night.
Why do you say not? Not in lone splendor. You fear I'm not steadfast because I oblige Mama by going to a dance.
Don't tease, Fanny.
Oh, you're not.
I shall tell her I'm unwell.
No, go. Go.
Mm-mm.
Go.
Good Irish Abigail, who never did fail to make a scorn as good as a swan.
Should I have some jam with that?
Oh, please.
Annie, come in, it's turned cold.
Mr. Keats has gone to London with no coat.
John, have you had wine?
I was really chilled. I was on the outside of the coach. But now I don't feel it.
Abigail! Abigail, get up, dress yourself. We need a doctor. Abigail? Bring the water, dear basin, and towel. The glasses, any glasses?
Let me know if I can.
Stand back, stand back.
See Miss Braun, but I've managed him and said that she'd gone into town.
But I have not.
Speaking of keeping Mr. Keats calm.
This is a deception I will not join.
No, it is not a deception. I am simply determined to preserve the life of my friend.
You would have it that I kill Mr. Keats with affection.
Fanny.
Perhaps you will. Apparently, there is nothing I can do to persuade you of the gravity of this situation, but Keats is in my care, and all visits will follow my regime or they will not happen at all.
Please, we Brawns will do whatever we can to restore Mr. Keats to health.
I was wondering where you were.
I've been waiting to be with you the whole day.
Last night there was a... it was a great rush of blood. Such that I thought that I would suffocate. And I said to Mr. Byrne, "This is unfortunate. My thoughts were of you." My sweet creature, when I send this round, I shall be in the front parlour, watching to see you show yourself for a minute in the garden.
When I look back upon the ecstasies in which I have passed some days, and the miseries in their turn, I wonder the more at the beauty which has kept up the spell so fervently. How horrid was the chance of slipping into the ground instead of into your arms. The difference is amazing, love.
Go on.
No,
go
Brown.
On now.
Brown. Brown.
Get anxious if I don't see her.
Why not bed her? She'd do whatever you wished. Might relieve your condition.
Do not take the trouble of writing much. Merely send me my good night to put under my pillow. John Keats. Let me no longer detain you from going to town. There may be no end to this imprisoning of you. Perhaps you had better not come before tomorrow evening. You know our situation. I am recommended not even to read poetry, much less write it. I wish I had even a little hope. I cannot say forget me, but I would mention that there are impossibilities in the world.
John, why do you say impossibilities?
I've coughed blood again. I fear the disease has the upper hand, and I will not recover.
I can't leave you. I have such clear hope for your new book of poems. John, they're more beautiful than any I've read of Mr. Coleridge, Mr. Wordsworth, even Lord Byron. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms? Alone and palely loitering. The sedge has withered from the lake. No birds sing.
I met a lady in the meads. Full beautiful, a fairest child. Her hair was long. Her foot was light. And her eyes were wild. I set her on my pacing steed. And nothing else saw all day long. For sidelong would she bend and sing a fairy song.
She found me roots of relish sweet, and honey wild, and manna dew. And sure in language strange she said, I love thee true.
She took me to her elfin grot.
And there she wept. And sighed full sore.
And there I shut her wild, wild eyes with kisses for. And there she lulled me asleep. And there I dreamed, ah, woe betide. The latest dream I ever dreamed. On the cold hillside.
Abigail. Here it is. Mr. Bryan said to give it to you tomorrow, but I'll not wait. He's the most cruel, dead-hearted man in this entire world. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wish I were dead.
I'm boiling with fury.
John, you must not convulse again.
Abigail is with child. But to whom, out of fear or shame, she would not say. We, Brown, must find out who it is. And when we have his name, then butcher or baker, he shall face up to his indecency. Will you call her?
It's not necessary. She has me believe I'm the father.
My God, I had no notion of a love affair.
There was none. Or I must have slept through it.
With what ease you help yourself.
I have agreed to pay for the child. And the worst thing is, I can't keep this place. I've just stored my summer rental early. And I feel wretched turning you out while you're so unwell. But, John, I can't do anything else. I'm overloaded with debt.
Don't concern yourself. I shall manage.
Stupid. Stupid.
Lads. In what stumbling ways a new soul has begun.
I would very much value your opinion, Mr. Keats, on a new painting of mine, The Cave of Despair. I was
suggesting he won't survive another winter in England. Then we must do something.
Gentlemen, I think we should hear Dr. Bree on the issue of climate for Keats's health.
Well, a move to a gentler climate is essential. I would recommend Italy.
Rome?
No, Rome is good.
Does he want to go to Rome?
Well, he has to go. He won't live through another winter in England.
How do you feel about Italy, John?
I do think there is an issue of finance.
Could we not, between us, start a fund or a collection?
Seems possible.
Of course, he'll need a travelling companion. Brown, you'll go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Someone must go. I'm not sure I shall be able.
Is that a no?
Mas.
I can help find a room for the summer, John, if you want.
Sammy, walk behind. I want to go to Italy with you. We can marry and I'll go with you.
My friends talk of going to Italy, but I have so little money.
Bare penny, son.
I can barely afford these Kentish town rooms. Farewell me here.
Why?
Don't do cleaning. I'm coming.
Oh,
Mr. Hunt can't have meant this room.
I told you not to come. Go now. Go.
Oh, please start. Please start.
Where's Fanny?
She's not eating.
How long has Mr. Keats been away?
5 weeks.
Perhaps it is for the best.
Who's best?
I thought it might be a relief to be separated when the circumstances are so difficult.
You all wish I would give up, but I can't. Even if I wanted to, I cannot.
Keep away from me. You do not love me. If you have not a crystal conscience this past month. I thought my heart was breaking.
Is there any blood?
No.
Is he staying here?
Yes, yes. Tonight.
Well, I need to examine the patient.
May he stay tomorrow till he leaves for Italy.
Not even officially engaged.
Can't we be?
There's no end to this. Next you want to marry, then travel to Rome. I should never have moved into this house. I've let this happen.
Just until Italy.
You are already the source of so much gossip.
Well, then let us be engaged.
Toot. Have you been eating rosebuds again? So where do your cheeks get their blush?
confirmed your ship will be Maria Crowther sailing for Naples.
When does she leave?
In 10 days.
So soon?
Autumn is coming. I'm afraid if you delay, there will be less and less reason to hope.
Then there's no putting it off. I must march against the battery.
Allow me to pour you another, Mr. Seven.
Really? Well, perhaps I might just...
Is this passage fully paid for?
Yes, yes.
What if something should happen to Mr. Keats or even to you in a foreign country? How would you survive?
It shouldn't be Seven. He barely knows him. Where is that fool, Mr. Brown, when he's needed? And why hasn't he written?
I found a goose for Mr. Keats' last dinner.
Don't say last.
And one.
Mr. Keats. She's
gone. What happened there?
Good.
And don't come back. There's no autumn around here.
Careful. You all right? Should we sit down?
Mrs. Bourne, that's for you.
It's beautiful. Oh, my dear mad boy. Is it successful?
There were two very positive reviews by friends and 6 mainly positive and 4 hostile. I don't know, is that successful?
Yes. Extremely so.
So they're selling well? Back. Live with us. Marry our Fanny.
We should say our goodbyes now.
Shall we awake? Find all this is a dream.
There must be another life. We can't be created to this kind of suffering.
I doubt that we will see each other again on this earth.
Then why are you leaving? Why must you go?
Because my friends have paid my way. It is a hopeless hope, but how can I refuse them?
Say you're too ill.
We have woven a web, you and I. Attached to this world, but a separate world of our own invention. We must cut the threads, Fanny.
No. I can't. I never will.
You know I would do anything.
I have a conscience. Let's pretend I will return in spring.
You will return.
We will live in the country.
Close to Mama.
And our bedroom will look out onto a little apple orchard. And beyond that, a mountain in a mist.
We can make a garden where every sort of wildflower grows.
We will go to bed while the sun is still high.
And when it becomes dark, the moon will shine through the shutters.
And I will hold you close and kiss your breasts, your arms, your waist.
Everywhere.
Touch as a memory.
I know it.
Not a word.
Mama, Mr. Brown's baby has red hair.
Hello! Oh, you beautiful boy. Hello. Oh, well done, well done. Hello. It is so nice to meet you.
You've seen the baby. Looks like Abigail. John's reached Naples. They quarantined his ship.
He wrote that he made more puns out of desperation in 2 weeks than he had in any year of his life. Should have liked to have been there, to have heard them.
You could have. Had you gone?
It's not that simple. With a baby and my funds reduced. And then there is this issue of the snow and the Alps.
And a lack of will.
Shall I say it aloud? Will that satisfy you? Shall I say it? I have failed John Keats. I failed John Keats. I failed John Keats. I failed him. I failed him. I did not know till now how tightly he'd wound himself around my heart.
It's for you, Mama. It's from Italy.
From Mr. Keats. He says it looks like a dream. Start again.
It's cold out. How are you all?
We're all quite well enough, but how is Mr. Keats?
Mrs. Braun, it is as unbearable to me as I know it is to you. Mr. Keats has died. I received an account from Severn. I've copied it for you, Miss Braun. Shall I just read it? Friday, the 23rd of February. At 4 in the afternoon, Keats called me. Severn, Severn. Lift me up, for I am dying.
I shall die easy. Don't be frightened. Thank God it has come. At one point, a cold, heavy sweat broke out over his whole body, and he whispered, "Don't breathe on me. It comes like ice." Keats died imperceptibly.
No more!
Sammy? Samuel?
Bright star. Would I were steadfast as thou art, not in lone splendor, hung aloft the night and watching with eternal lids apart, nature's patient, sleepless eremite, the moving waters at their priest-like task of pure ablution round earth's human shores, or gazing on the new soft fallen mask of snow upon the mountains and the moors. Yet still steadfast, still unchangeable, pillowed upon my fair love's ripening breast. Awake forever. In a sweet unrest. Still to hear her tender taken breath. And so live ever. Or else swoon to death.
heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense, as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and leafy woods had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beechen green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cool a long age in the deep delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards. Already with thee, tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays. But here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild, white hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast fading violets covered up in leaves, and mid-May's eldest child, the coming muskrose, full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling, I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many a mused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn. The same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements, opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades. Past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now 'tis buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep?